We continue our learning of Leilin Nishmas Tavi B'Menachem Rosh HaMilchaim Yaakov and Pinchas Aliyah. We are in Yevamos, Perek Yud, Mishnah Beis. Niseis al pi Beis Din. We're speaking about the case of the previous Mishnayos, where we have an Eid Echad, we have one witness who's testifying that a woman's husband passed away, and based on the testimony of Beis Din, there was a Horas Beis Din. There was a ruling of Beis Din that it's one aid is sufficient when it comes to a case of Aguna. So we allow her to remarry based on that. So it's based on the Eidim that this woman married someone else. On the testimony of one aide who testified that her husband passed away, the halacha is teitse. Obviously, if now the husband comes back, she has to leave both the, as we said in the previous Mishnayos, both the her original husband and the second husband she married, because it was not really a marriage at all, asura labal v'asura laboel, as we've mentioned, but uptura manat karban. But she's exempt from being a karban chatos. She violated a serious avera for which she would be chayv b'shogeg, at least a karban chatos. The answer is no. A person who sins based on an instruction or a ruling of Beis Din is parted from a karban chatos. But Loni says I'll be Beis Din. Let's say there were two edim, two witnesses who testified that the husband passed away. So she saw that, oh, that's a no-brainer. Of course I can remarry based on the testimony. But it wasn't something that was done through a horaz Beis Din, figuring she doesn't need even to go to Beis Din for such a thing. Then not only Tetzay, there in such a case, she not only has to leave this man and cannot live with her original husband, but v'chayeves b'karban, she's kai v'chayeve karban chatos, she is considered a shogeges. She's shogeges because if it was not done al pi horas Beis Din, so then there's not going to be an exemption from her karban chatos. So therefore the Mishnah points out, based on this, Yofe koach Beis Din shepotro min hakarbon. So you see that the power of Beis Din is so great that if she remarries based on their ruling, she's exempt from a karbon chatos. So the halacha happens to be, though, not like our Mishnah. And the halacha is that even if she remarries through a ruling of Beis Din, she's chayev karbon chatos. Not only she, but her second husband, because of adultery. And the Gemara explains, because this is not a hora. This is not a halachic ruling. This is a tars. This is an error. So if it's an erroneous ruling, it doesn't have the status of ruling and will not exempt from a karban chatos. Then the Mishnah says, Horuha Beis Din linasei v'holcha v'kilkala. Let's say Beis Din rule that she can remarry. And then she herself, though, did something that she should not have done in her marriage, which means that, say, you can remarry based on the husband passing away. Maybe that was a mistake, but at least they made this hora. But she ended up marrying an almana or almana to a Kohen Gadol. I mean, she's an almana. She marries a Kohen Gadol. Or she's a grusha, and she marries a Kohen Hedyot. So then, chayeves b'karban. Such as the halacha is, now she's chayev b'karban chatas. Why? Shalohi tiruha elalinase. Because all Beis Din allowed you to do based on the testimony, let's say, of one aid, the way the Mishnah began. One aid testifies that the husband passed away. Beis Din makes a ruling she can remarry. So if in such a case, now she's certainly going to be chayv a karban chatos, and the reason for that, and she can't exempt herself by saying, Beis Din made the ruling, I follow their ruling, because I didn't really follow their ruling. What did she do? She ended up marrying someone she wasn't allowed to marry. She's an almani marrying a Kohen Gadol. Let's say she's a grusha from a previous marriage. She married a Kohen Edur. Then she's chayv a karban chatos. Shalohi tiruha eluli nase. They only allow her to marry someone that's mutatar. She didn't follow the horas Beis Din, so then that's not considered following their horah anymore, and therefore she won't be exempt from a karban chatos. Perek Yud Mishnah Gimel. Ha'isha shahalach ba'ala le'uvina le'medinas hayam. You have a woman whose husband and her son went overseas on a trip. Uvo va'amru la, and they came, the Edim came and said that this is what happened. Meis ba'alich v'acharkach meis b'nech. Your husband passed away, and then your son passed away. So we have to be thinking now, is there a halach of yibum or not? Well, if the husband passed away original first, and then only the son passed away, well, when the husband passed away, she had a child. If there's a child from that marriage, from that union, so then there is no mitzvah of yibum at all. It's only where they don't have children. So she figured, okay, the husband passed away. They said, and that he passed away first, and only then the son passed away. So the son had been living when the husband passed away, so Yibum never took effect. Vinises, and based on this testimony, she went and remarried someone else. V'acharkach amrulah, and then they came back and said, you know what? Chiluf, are you adivarim? It was really the opposite. It was really meis b'neich. First, your son passed away, and then acharkach meis balech. Oh, that's the case. She was zukuko l'yibum. There was a yibum, a bond that she had, and she was not allowed to marry this other person. Let's say it was a case of Adim Zolomim, the two Adim, where we know we believe the second pair over the first pair, so they were mazim the first pair, so now we realize, oh no, it was really the son who passed away first. So when the husband passed away, they had they did not have any children together living, and therefore there is the mitzvah of Yibam. Now she's living with someone when she has halacha of Yibam. So says the Mishnah Tetzei, she has to leave the second husband. She was not allowed to marry the second husband. She was zukuka liyibum to the brother of the husband who passed away. V'havlad rishon v'acharon mamzer, and the first and second child is a mamzer. So first and second child, just to be careful what this means. It means the child born from the union of the widow and her second husband is a mamzer. And that we'll see that that's only according to Rabbi Akiva's opinion. And this is true whether the child was conceived before the second testimony that her son died before her husband, and therefore there was Yibam, or whether it was after that testimony. And that really doesn't really matter. That before or after is really not necessary. The Mishnah makes could have just said the child is a mamzer, period. We know that it doesn't matter whether it's true from the child was conceived from the second husband before the second testimony or after, but we need that distinction because of the later case in the Mishnah. But the child is a mamzer. Why is the child a mamzer? What iser is there that this woman is living with another husband and did not, when it was really a din of Yibam? So this is not an iser kares or remises based in. This is based on the pasuk that says that lo sihyeh eishes hames hachutzo l'ish zar yivamo yavo aleo. There's a lav here, there's a negative commandment, no kares at all, for her to be living with someone else when there is a mitzvah of Yibam. So therefore, the author of the Mishnah must be Rabbi Akiva, who we mentioned several times, but in the fourth parak specifically, Mishnah Yugimel, who says that a mamzer can, the offspring of Chai Ve'lavin, is going to be a mamzer. So that would be true. You have, anytime you have a lav, that child is going to have the status of a mamzer, even though it's not a union of kares or misas based in. In this case, it's only a lav. It's lo siyeh eishes hames hachutzol ishzar. It's only a negative commandment with malchus. So nonetheless, this child will be a mamzer according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Amrullah, what about the following case? They said to her, meis b'neich v'acharkach meis ba'alich. So they said, oh, your husband passed away. And then your child passed away, and then your husband passed away. So figuring, okay, the child passed away first. They went overseas, the child and the husband. Child passed away first. So now, when the husband passed away, she had no offspring, had no children. So there must be a din of Yibam, Vinis Yabba. And now she has Yibam with her brother-in-law, with her the deceased husband's brother, which had there not been a mitzvah of Yibam, that would have been the an Isser Kares living with Eishes Ach. V'achakach Amrullah, and then the Adim came back and say, oh, you know what, we made a mistake. Or there was an Adim Zomim, as we said, another pair of them said, no, it's just the opposite. And we know we believe the second Adim over the first in the case of Hazamar, as the Nemuke Yosef understands the Mishnah. It was just the opposite. No, the husband passed away first, and then the child passed away. So she was not allowed to live with the Yavam. So the Mishnah says, Tetzei. So she obviously has to leave that Yavam. V'havlad harishon v'acharon mamzer. So this child is going to be a mamzer, and this is according to everybody, because living with Eishes Ach, that's an Isser Kares. Certainly the child is going to be mamzer in this case. Now we have the third case. Amula meis ba'alich v'nisseis. So you have a woman, they said, your husband passed away, and she, based on that testimony, she remarries. V'acharkach amula, and then they say to her, kayam haya v'meis. Really, when you remarry this other person, your husband was still alive. And only then, only afterwards he died. Now he's dead. But when you married this man, you were an Eishes Ish. You weren't allowed to marry this second man. So halach is Tetzei, she has to leave her husband. The Chachamim penalized her because she did not investigate, and her husband was still alive at that time, and therefore you have to leave. Not only that, Vahavlad Harishon, which means the child that she became pregnant with when her husband was still alive, Mamzer, because that's from an Eishes Ish. But she got pregnant after her husband passed away, and this is where the distinction matters, Rishon or Achron. So ain't no mamzer. Why? Because she's one that wasn't an Eishes Ish at that point. We don't let her stay married to this man, but the child from that union is obviously not a mamzer. And if some say it's not a mamzer in HaTorah, but because of Knas, it will be a mamzer, some Rishonim say, midirabanan. Well, what about the fourth case, Meis Ba'alich, when it's Kadsha, here's a case where Adam says your husband died, and she now, assuming the husband passed away, she accepts Kesef Kiddushin, has Erusin with another man, but not Chuppah yet, not Nisuin. And now the husband comes, and we see that he's still alive. Muteres Lachzorlo, she's permitted to go back to the original husband, even without a get from the second husband, since they didn't live B'Isser, and Chachamim did not give a Knas. Therefore, Af Apishanas Allah Acharon Get, Lo Paslaman Akuna, that would mean that even if the second one gave her a get, that would not invalidate her, that would not disqualify her from marrying a Kohen, because she doesn't really need a get, and if the get is meaningless. As Zu Dorash, Rabbi Elazar ben Masya, this is what Rabbi Elazar ben Masya of Darshin, what did he say? Quoting the Pasuk in Emor, V'isha Girusha Me'isha, it says lo yikachu. So what do we say? The halacha is the word me'isha is obviously superfluous. Why? Because a woman is gerusha for who she divorced from. Obviously from her husband. So what I have to say? V'isha gerusha me'isha. She's divorced from her husband. Obviously, me'isha is there to teach you me'isha v'lo me'ish she'eino isha. Means if she was mekabel a get from someone who was never her husband, she's not called the gerusha. So the same thing here. The second person who she became a Kudeshis to is not really her husband. His get is not a get, and that therefore does not disqualify her from Kuhuna, and if therefore her original husband was a Kohen, she's allowed to go back to him without a problem. Just one note, if you remember the first case was where a woman went, her husband and son went to Midas Hayam, and they told her what? That your husband passed away, and then your son figuring, oh, so there's no Yibum mitzvah, because she had an offspring, and she married someone when there was really a mitzvah of Yibum. So we said, and then they came back and said it's just the opposite. So really there was a mitzvah of Yibum. So he said this is a negative command she's violating by living with someone not having had Yibum, and we follow Rabbi Akiva, the child is a mamzer, etc. So there's other things just to keep in mind. We say Tate, she has to leave her husband because she still has a connection to the Yibum. She's not allowed to marry an Izzar. But in addition to leaving her husband, she also needs a get from him. And chalitza, not ye, right? What do you mean? A get from him. And chalitza from whom? From the first husband. Now, why can't the first husband, we say, only gives chalitza, but does not give yibum? And if she remarries on, let's say she remarried, as we said, on the testimony of this one aide. See, she also has, if you remember all the way back in the first mission, there's a whole list of penalties that we give the woman regarding the ksuba and many other things. So that applies to her as well. If she remarried, though, on the testimony of two witnesses, so that we had a machlokas whether or not she's going to be penalized. Now, why is this true? Even if a woman remarried and then realized she's a yavama, because this is very similar to the case of the woman whose original husband came back after her marriage, if you remember, that was Mishnah Aleph of this parak. And person who doesn't know is going to assume the cases are the same. And the Chachamim gave a knas to the Yavama in our case because they did a knas in the other case as well. And we want it to be universal so people know the halachos.